Thanks for tuning in to All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast. I'm William O'Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com. Today I'm sharing an earlier essay chat I did with Dr. Bruce Johnson. It was the second one from 2012, and the essay is called The Necessity of Chivalry. Be sure to check the show notes for an updated link to Zanezook, a journal produced by the Arizona C.S. Lewis Society that Dr. Johnson is a part of. I'm William O'Flaherty from All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast. Today I'm discussing the necessity of chivalry with Dr. Bruce Johnson, who is the associate or one of the associate editors of Zanezip, the C.S. Lewis journal produced by the Arizona C.S. Lewis Society. Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Good to be with you, William.
Well, again, this is a part of a series of chats where just a single essay by Lewis is the focus. Bruce and I will be giving comments about it and hope that if you haven't read it, then you will read it, or if you have, that you'll want to go back and read it again. To kick things off, let's consider the context of the essay, The Necessity of Chivalry. It was first published in August 17, 1940, and this was in an issue of Time and Tide as the publication. And this appeared under a column simply called Notes on the Way. And that was a column that Lewis contributed to occasionally. Then it became available in print after his death in 1986 in a collection of essays entitled Present Concerns. It was listed as the title, The Necessity of Chivalry, and in the preface, the editor, Walter Hooper of the collection, noted that this was the title that Lewis actually gave it himself. Well, to start things off, Bruce, describe the use of the word chivalry and why Lewis uses it and the example he gives.
Well, Lewis uses that as an ideal to which we can aspire. And the two examples he gives are Lancelot, particularly as Malory has described that. Lancelot was a warrior who was both fierce and humble. That is, he was not just blood and guts. He wasn't just meek and mild. He was both at the same time. And that's the ideal that Lewis is lifting up. He's lifting this up while the Battle of Britain is still taking place. What is needed is not just brute force, which, of course, the Luftwaffe and the Nazi regime was trying to shove all throughout Europe, nor was it just appeasement in the face of brutality, which Neville Chamberlain was trying to manage for a while. It's being both, having both aspects at the same time. Really, for Lewis, the whole Western world at that moment depended on lifting up that ideal and attaining that ideal in a day.
Now, in the essay, Lewis speaks of chivalry as, quote, the one hope of the world, and that without it, to quote the other part of the paragraph, then all talk of any lasting happiness or dignity in human society is pure moonshine. Is Lewis being too strong here?
Again, you have to look at the context of this. Lewis and some of his friends really thought that a year from that moment they'd all be speaking German in Oxford, that the Nazi government was really going to take over and the end of Western civilization was really at hand. So he lifts up an ideal that really made sense. If we can attain that ideal of being strong, but also being humble, protecting the weak, you can think of military recruiting posters where you have some soldier or sailor or airman who's rescuing an innocent child. I mean, that's the idea that resonates with us, and that's what Lewis is calling upon in his essay. That's what we want. We don't want brute force for force sake or strength for strength's sake. We want that to protect those who are innocent, to protect things that are good and true and meaningful to us. So in a real sense, it's something that's still needed in the world.
Now, for those who like, you know, chivalry, that's such an odd word now. When you go to the dictionary, at least the one I went to online, it does note that it ties it very much directly into the medieval or the Middle Ages concepts. Is there any more contemporary word that we might use today, or if Lewis were alive today, would he use?
Oh, Lewis, of course, he's writing as scholar of medieval and Renaissance English literature, so it's a great word for him to use. You know, today we might think of somebody that is, well, strong for others, or somebody that is trying to defend an ideal or a cause or freedom or something like this, but not for their own sake. You think of many people in the coalition forces that fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. They come back very, very humble. You try to thank them, and they will, you know, I'm not the hero, and they think of the people that they've left behind as the true heroes. There's that sense that we are encountering in our own generation that I think will resonate with very much.
I know when I was reflecting on this and looking up some synonyms for the word chivalrous, I didn't come up with a single word, but I found two that maybe might fit close, and that is the words courageous as well as honorable, as maybe characterizing it somewhat today. But now, one final thing, we're not going to exhaustively deal with the essay, but for a question here, is that Lewis at the end was observing that this knightly character was once preserved by society that was divided into classes. And he makes comments about that that almost seems to suggest that we should go back to that. What do you think Lewis is trying to say as he wraps up that?
Well, I don't think Lewis believed that it was possible to turn back the clock in that way, to go to a medieval society where you had class of knights that would lift up that chivalrous ideal. So I think he is trying to capture our attention at that moment. But again, he sees in particularly the pilots of the RAF as a great example in his own day and age of the example of chivalry, people that were humble but doing their job. And at one point in the essay, he talks about them as to whom we owe our life from hour to hour. And in a very real sense, that's what he was observing in the skies above Britain that autumn.
In terms of this particular essay, so I honestly didn't find a particular isolated quote per se other than what I shared earlier, but if you have one here, you can share in a second. But I did find it interesting that there's no quote to isolate it, but that he notes that to be chivalrous, it takes discipline and effort to achieve. It's not just something that you wake up one day and decide, well, you're going to do it. But any quotes or thoughts that stood out that you haven't pointed out yet?
One quote I think is just very compelling and written very well. He talks about the ideal of a knight as, quote, a man of blood and iron, a man familiar with the sight of smashed faces and the ragged stump of lopped-off limbs. He's also demure, almost maidenlike, a guest in the hall, a gentle, modest, unobtrusive man. And that's really bringing the two facets of this ideal together.
In closing here, what related essays or other material by him would have this similar theme?
Well, I relate this to the sermon that he delivered in Oxford about 6 months before that, which is now known as Learning in Wartime, whereas his attempt to say, gosh, a war is starting, how is it that we can stay here in Oxford studying literature and other things? How does that make sense? And he begins working through that, particularly working through that as a Christian. I mean, war can't take our whole attention. God, whole life of what it means to be human, encompasses so much more than war. He begins to approach dealing with from a devotional aspect in that sermon. Then the second Sunday of the Battle of Britain is when he comes up with the idea for the Screwtape Letters, which is his imaginative response. So as the battles between the RAF and the Luftwaffe rage in the skies, Lewis begins writing imaginatively about the battle in the heavens. So I think those are good framing works of other ways Lewis responds to what was going on in the fall of 1940.
Well, again, we've been discussing the Lewis essay, The Necessity of Chivalry. It's available in a collection of essays called Present Concerns. We encourage you to read it for the first time or go back and read it again if you haven't already. Bruce, I want to thank you for taking the time to join me for this.
You're welcome.